previously on the Civic Tech in Africa podcast. Today, we are talking about how data can be a good storytelling tool and the importance of data journalism on the African continent.
I think it's difficult to kind of provide and generalize essentially across the planet around what news we're doing. But I'd say that the appetite for data visualizations has definitely increased. Mm-hmm. But I think that also coincides with the absolute flood of information that people have available to them.
Sarah Fanny Findlay, who is the project lead at Africa Data Hub.
To listen to this episode and more, find the Civic Tech in Africa podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Civic Tech Innovation Network in partnership with Voice of Viz.
Everybody, welcome to the Civic Tech in Africa podcast. My name is Nathi Mgletyo, and I'm so happy to have you join us again for this episode. African civic tech plays a significant role on the continent, but many innovators in the space still struggle with their funding and financing options. In some ways, this mirrors challenges in other nonprofit and social innovation work. Today, we are talking about an important topic in the civic space. We're talking about funding and sustainability. In many ways, this is a conversation we've been having at the Civic Tech Innovation Network for the last 2 years, particularly at our annual conference, the Civic Tech Innovation Forum. Today's guests have taken this conversation further and developed a report on sustainability of civic tech in Africa. The report is called Growing and Sustaining African Civic Tech, a Playbook Starter. Please check out today's show notes and episode description to see all the places you can find the report. Today's guests are Gabriella Razzano and Amy Mutua. Gabriella is the executive director and co-founder of Open Up, a civic tech lab based in Cape Town. She's also the board member at the Civic Tech Innovation Network. She is a senior Atlantic fellow in social and income equality and an expert on AI and democracy for the African AI Observatory. Amy Mutua is a research assistant at the Tyresha Center for Digital Governance based at the Vets School of Governance. Let's welcome our guests. Hello, Gabby. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Hi, Matthew.
Hello. So happy to have you guys here to talk about this wonderful report you guys have put out. But I want to start and talk about you, Gabby, a little bit and talk about your work with Open Up. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that Open Up does and why it's so important for civic tech right now?
Sure. Well, Open Up is an open data-centered civic tech hub based in Cape Town. So we were founded in 2013. And we really are at the forefront of, you know, a lot of the civic technology development on the continent, but with a very strong emphasis on open data and transparency and a model that looks to inform, empower, and activate citizens for positive social change. So we've been doing this work for a relatively long time now. I've got our 10-year anniversary next year, which we're really, really looking forward to. But, you know, in doing that work, I've had our fair share of experience in, you know, the funding and sustainability of these kinds of initiatives. And we've tried to apply the same innovation methods we use for, you know, our dev as we do to our approaches to our organizational development as well. And so that's what we brought to this report, I think.
And I know Amy also works, sort of worked with you in this report to sort of put it together. She works at the Tyresha Center for Digital Governance, which also houses the Civic Tech Innovation Network. Could you tell us a little bit, Amy, about the genesis of this report and why and how it came about, really?
Yeah. So as you mentioned in the introduction, it's kind of the product of ongoing dialogues that CTIN has been having around funding over the years. So there's already been quite a few conversations around financial sustainability from different perspectives, some conversations looking at regional perspectives. So thinking about what are some of the different challenges that civic tech organizations across the continent experience when it comes to funding, recognizing that what's normal here in Southern Africa could be really different from the experience that civic tech organizations have in North Africa or in West Africa. And then there's been other conversations sort of discussing the general funding landscape in Africa. So those initial conversations happened. And I think that within CTIN, there was a really strong understanding that funding and money, it needs to be talked about more openly. We need to create spaces where we can talk about it, where we can learn from each other, where we can unlearn from each other. Because all civic tech organizations, all civil society organizations, they all face the reality that they have to fund their work somehow.
Right.
And in order to have longevity as an organization, you need to be financially sustainable. So that's kind of where the concept came from. So it aimed to just explore financing issues, strategies, models that could improve the funding landscape in Africa.
Right. And I'm very interested in sort of understanding the picture of civic tech right now, sort of the challenges that civic tech organizations face right now. And I know, Gabby, you could speak to this as well because you run a civic tech organization yourself. What are some of the key challenges that you've identified on the continent that civic tech initiatives face right now? So we can start with you, Gabby, and maybe Amy, you can sort of come in there with, you know, your own findings.
Sure. I mean, you know, the challenges aren't just necessarily about funding and they're not just about sustainability, obviously.
Right.
I mean, you know, bigger organizational challenges, like how you motivate a team, how do you, you know, all these kinds of organizational development questions. But I think what is interesting to think about, and we try and draw out in the report a bit, is the link between your funding and sustainability and your impact. And I think, you know, that's often the key challenge is when you have a particular model and a particular vision for how you think you might be able to create positive impact, designing your funding around that or to support that impact is the biggest challenge. Yeah, I mean, often, you know, as people who, you know, as other CEOs know, like, you want to, while on some level you think it's about creating sustainability for your team, it's more than that. It's about creating sustainability for your impact. And it's actually often very hard to do. It's easy to get distracted by, you know, funder wants, or, you know, it's easy to get distracted by, you know, like, destructive partnerships and those kinds of things. So, I mean, I do think that like alignment is one of the biggest challenges.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Amy, do you have any other challenges that perhaps we could speak about here?
I think, yeah, building on what Gabriella is saying, and I think what came out during the research, we held a focus group and a lot of the civic tech organizations kind of raised this concern about power dynamics, about how the focus of funders kind of shifts over time as new trends emerge, then funding might be tied to specific areas that may not speak to the initial goals or objectives of an organization. And so I like what Gabriella is saying about the sustainability of impact. I think that's something that organizations really need to be aware of.
Right, right. And just going back on what Gabriella was talking about around sustainability of impact and not only sustaining just the team and sort of the organization, but also having sustainability for the thing that you're trying to do, really. I would like us to sort of paint a picture of what a sustainable organization should look like. So you've touched on impact, that needs to be sustainable. The organization needs to be sustained, right, for a longer impact, I imagine. What other things should we be looking for if we are trying to identify an organization that in its nature is sustainable?
Yeah, I mean, besides having the money to pay your bills, which is a relatively easy metric.
Right.
I say easy, I mean, but, you know, I do think that, like, a sustainable organization, consider one that's not just able to sustain itself over a certain amount of time, but has enough resourcing to innovate.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, yeah, so, you know, especially for organizations that might rely on project income or all grant income, I mean, and the thing worth noting, we should have mentioned at the beginning, is how significantly grant dependent a lot of African civic technology is compared actually to other jurisdictions, I think.
Right.
But to get back to the question, I mean, I think you don't just need enough resources to meet your obligations in terms of projects, or to meet your obligations in terms of grants, or to just, you know, meet your impact targets. Like, you know, I want to, you know, help 5 people in this community. Obviously, those are all important metrics of what a sustainable organization is. But I think you need enough resourcing to be able to innovate, to be able to reinforce, rethink, replan, and experiment with new ways of doing things. And I think that's often the challenge, you know, is with in the resource constraint, it doesn't allow us enough space to innovate our organization and innovate our impact, you know, because we're so busy meeting, you know, a 3-month schedule, kinds of things. So I think that's very significant.
And I want to go back to something that Amy said around changing trends, right? The funding trends changing. So that would be talking to how organizations are no longer funding initiatives that are focusing on a particular thing, but now are changing direction and, you know, looking at digital transformation from a different angle. How many organizations right now are sort of changing their internal strategies to sort of find funders where they are, right? It's like funders are in this space, and so we are going to go in this space. Are you seeing a lot of that, Gaby, in sort of the space that we're in right now?
I think that's always been the case. You know, so before, and that's the big challenge about, you know, for a lot of civil society organizations in trying to pursue grant funding. So before I worked in civic tech, I worked in, you know, more traditional, like, activist civil society, and the problems were the same. And you know, I think that's why you should try to, you know, encourage people to, you know, start from their own strategy and then find funding that fits that, because there are, you know, significant risks being distracted by the latest, you know, funding trends. And I think in doing that, you don't, and like I said, by distracting yourself from your impact, but two, presents real organization of starting to capacity build, of starting to focus in areas, that distract you and then, you know, aren't maintainable or sustainable. I think it's a problem. It's not a problem that's new to civic technology.
Right.
And, you know, there's really great work being done in the philanthropy community at the moment on, you know, different types of philanthropy. And I think it's worthwhile civic tech getting engaged in those conversations in Africa, given, you know, how philanthropy reliant a lot of organizations are. And, you know, also great thinking work being done by civil society. I mean, there's a wonderful book called The Revolution Will Not Be Funded, which I really encourage everybody to read.
Right.
You know, in thinking about what is it ultimately that we want to do, and what are some of the, you know, negative and nefarious impacts of philanthropy actually in our pursuits of, you know, the kinds of social justice that we might see. So they're really interesting conversations happening that I think it's worthwhile civic technology getting engaged in.
And I want us to sort of go into the report now and talk about specifics in the report, some stuff that you've covered. But I want us to sort of talk about some key concepts that we have to understand before getting into the report, and why it's so significant to sort of understand those concepts. I know that you underline civic tech as an important concept to understand, social entrepreneurship as an important concept to understand, and what the difference between for-profit and not-for-profit initiatives. Take me through all these concepts and sort of talk about the significance of understanding these concepts before getting into the report itself. So maybe we can start with you, Amy, and tell us a little bit about why civic tech as a concept is important to understand, because I know some people define civic tech differently from others. So maybe just take us through that, and then we can go into why social entrepreneurship is an important concept, and then the difference between for-profit and not-for-profit initiatives.
Okay, sure. So civic tech, you're right, it's kind of one of those concepts that doesn't have one clear definition, at least not to my knowledge.
Right.
But generally refers to kind of the ways that people use technology to create change, to influence change. So through providing information to citizens, through connecting citizens to each other, to their government representatives. It's using tech, but not as the solution, more of a tool, a means to an end to further this goal of influencing change within society. Social entrepreneurship is more about organizations that want to create positive change, positive social impact, but do so by combining kind of the principles of business with the principles of social impact. As for how these organizations organize, I think I would kick that over to the legal expert in the room, Gabby.
Yes, Gabby.
I'll take it, the legal expert. Look at you guys charming me. When we look, so there are obviously ways that organizations might categorize themselves.
Right.
And then there are ways that organizations might actually be legally associated. And that will be different from country to country as well, because, you know, laws will be different about how organizations can structure. You know, like in South Africa, you have nonprofit companies, but also nonprofit associations. In other countries, you do have specific kinds of categories for social entrepreneurship as a specific kind of association, you know, which means your legal association. But I find that, you know, in the report, the easiest way to look at it rather than trying to look at it as like legally determined, you know, was to rather look at it just in terms of, you know, for-profit, non-profit and hybrid. Organizations are organizations that can generate a profit and then distribute that profit as they see fit. And that's important because, of course, you know, when it comes to funding and investment, often, you know, you invest in companies that you can get a return from. So you know, that model's chiefly the way you access, you know, direct investment funds and that kind of thing. Although, you know, there are variations, like with everything, but also nonprofit is then companies that do not distribute or cannot distribute their profit. It doesn't mean they can't accumulate surplus.
Right.
Right. So you're an organization, you generate, I mean, I think that's an important thing to think about because that impacts your sustainability, you know. So you can generate surplus and then reinvest that back into the company, but you cannot distribute any surplus as dividends or anything like that. And then hybrid, there are increasingly organizations that are hybrids that have both non-profit and for-profit arms. And then, you know, money moves across the entities in different ways, and it really depends both on your legal context, so where you're incorporated or your association, and also on your ultimate aim, you know, what it is you want to do,
right?
And also who you want to get funds from. So, you know, most philanthropic agencies chiefly fund nonprofits, although again there are exceptions.
So would you say, understanding these concepts, like you've sort of lined, so you've made a section defining these concepts in the report. So would you say that understanding these concepts is a very important in how we approach funding, but generally how we sort of strategize around, okay, this is who we are, and this is sort of the funding that we want. Is that important, you know, when we sort of strategize for funding, to understand these things? Do you feel like some people misunderstand the kind of organizations they are and therefore do not look for the right sort of funding in the space?
Yeah, I think you need to understand them so you know what your limits are.
Right.
And again, there are ways to get around it. Like you can be a nonprofit, you partner with a for-profit, and the for-profit accesses investment funds, or, you know, they're obviously, and I think this also goes to why we looked at risks, which we might address later. Mm-hmm. It's just the kind of information that an organization needs to have to make an informed choice about its strategy. Mm-hmm. And that's why we included it.
Right. So could we talk about who the target audience for this report was? Who was it made for? I know that you've identified sort of five groups or beneficiaries who can benefit from this report. What are the key approaches they need when pursuing funding? Could you talk about those five groups, even if you don't talk about them specifically, but sort of the specific things that they need to do to pursue funding?
Sure. I'll talk about the sort of five different groups and then some high level stuff that we did on it, and then Amy can jump in.
Right.
But we kind of, you know, in this act of huge creativity, kind of, you know, took a sort of user design approach to thinking about not just the structure side of the report, but thinking about the report itself. And so we kind of identified five sort of personas. And the one is a civic tech organization that's relying on donor funding, right, bearing in mind too, that there are a lot of decreasing availability of grant funds in different contexts.
Right.
In Africa, for example, you know, there's been, especially as a move towards a middle income status, you know, the kind of availability of philanthropic funds has been decreasing. And so the other was that you're a new civic tech organization and a startup that's establishing itself, you know, which is kind of the questions you were addressing earlier, and thinking about how it might want to be associated, or what its funding model might look like. And then there's, you know, you're a donor trying to learn more about the civic tech environment for your own funding strategy. The fourth was a social entrepreneur hoping to scale an existing product in South Africa. You know, there are a lot of startups, socially minded startups in Africa, because we're such good people, I think. And the other is a civil society organization looking for a civic tech partner that might be able to help you solve your civic problem. And this is something, you know, I don't think that can be underestimated, is how collaborative projects between like-minded organizations can be a very, very important kind of partnership, both for, you know, accessing funds, but also for reducing your needs for funds by sharing capacity and sharing skills. And, you know, there's a lot of work that can be done without money. And thinking about how to do that for your organization is important. Although, you know, you always have to cost for time. Yeah, I don't know. Amy, do you want to add on anything at a high level there?
Sure. I think this section is just really helpful in the report because of how practical it is. I think. Right. There's really practical steps that you can take if you fall into any of these personas or these scenarios where you can think clearly and specifically about who you are and where you fall, and kind of take those first initial steps, and they're very clearly laid out. So that's the value I see in this section.
Right. And I know you've developed these scenarios for these different groups and sort of identified questions they need to ask themselves before, you know, they pursue funding opportunities. What are some of these general questions that they need to ask themselves before sort of developing the strategy and sort of pursuing funding, and particularly in the civic tech space?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, like, I mean, I don't want to give away the whole report.
Hey, some mystery. Okay.
I'm joking. But, you know, when thinking about a funding strategy, there's some simple questions you can ask yourself. And like, what are my main goals? Right. You know, how do I want to scale my organization? How do I want to sustain it? Do I want to scale product? Do I want to launch a product? You know, so what am I looking for funding for?
Right.
Then given my funding goals, you know, what is the scale of the funding I need? Are there alternatives to monetary investment in order to, you know, be able to do this work? Given, you know, like how much of this can be done through volunteers and all those kinds of things. Looking at my existing funding strategy, what works? You know what I mean? What do I think has been successful and how do I leverage that?
Yeah.
I think another important thing, and this comes out quite a lot in the advice section, but more practical advice section, is given our current networks, what opportunities are we underutilizing?
Right.
And I think it's an important, it's a really important thing to think about, because I think sometimes we underestimate the power of our own networks, you know, and our own capital within those networks. You know, they talk about social capital and stuff like that. But, you know, it's also like a very simple business lesson that's applicable, I think, in the civic tech space, and that it's often easier to, you know, build up an existing relationship.
Yeah, definitely. And so I'd encourage our listeners to look at our show notes and our description to find all the places where sort of the report is located. But just tell us, Amy, where to find the report, or what's the, is there a website that can people can find it in? I know it's in more than one language. Tell us a little bit about where people can access the report itself.
Yes. So you can access the report at funding.civictech.africa. It is available in English and French. The website also has some of the key learnings, key findings from the report for those who may find it difficult to sit and read an entire report.
Right.
There's a very interactive and fun website that you can engage with instead.
Gabby and Amy, thank you so much for joining us in the Civic Tech in Africa podcast. That concludes this episode. Don't forget to subscribe and review the podcast, and please see the episode description for all the places you can follow and engage with the Civic Tech Innovation Network. Until next time, goodbye. But before we leave, I want to say a special thanks to Ali Zajonas, who helped us put this episode together. Goodbye.
This podcast is brought to you by Civic Tech Innovation Network in partnership with Voice of Vids.